We're in John chapter 15 tonight. John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the privilege to be back here tonight. The blessing to be able to be together, to share in one another's fellowship, to be here to help and to encourage one another and to strengthen one another in any way that you would have us to do. So God, I pray that you would bless us tonight. Help us as we open your word and we look at it, that you would give us understanding of it, that you would help us to rightly divide it, and God, that it would be a strength, be a source of strength for us tonight and help. And God, we pray it would be for your glory. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. John 15, verse 5, we dealt with this passage a few months ago in our going through the Gospel of John, but we want to revisit this one verse tonight and talk about the fact that God says we are branches, the branches. Verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth or remaineth or continueth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's God's word. And all God's people said, amen. I was listening to Alistair Begg this week. He is one of my favorite preachers to listen to. And he was speaking about the lack of truth that is being communicated from pulpits in our day. And this is what he said, quote, how can people in the congregation apply the Word of God rightly when they have not been taught what the Word of God rightly says? He went on to say, we are building spiritual skyscrapers hundreds of stories high without the proper foundation. And when the earthquake hits, it will be the fall of all of it. Close quote. So he's talking about things that are being taught with no theological foundation under them whatsoever. Things like how you can handle stress in life and how you can be a better husband or a better wife or things of this source. No theological truth behind them whatsoever. And you can't apply the Word of God if you don't have the theological construct under it. It all falls. It all crashes when something adverse happens. So I say that to say this. What I'm trying to do in these messages on Sunday night is offer some theological basis, some theological grounding for who we are as believers. And not what I say we are, but who God says we are. So that we understand who we are and we act accordingly. Say amen? So that our application of these things is grounded on the theological truth of these things. So far in this series of messages, and there only is one more after tonight, about who God says we are, we have seen that in Christ we are new creations. Behold, all things are new and old things are passed away. We are the children of God. We are lively stones. We are His workmanship. We are light. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are His disciples, and we are parts of the body of Christ. Those are the eight things we have looked at so far. Tonight will be number nine. And the importance of each of these identifiers is that each of them have corresponding behaviors with the identification. So if we are children of God, we should act like children of God. If we are His workmanship, we should act like we are His workmanship. If we are lights, we are to expose the darkness. If we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, if we are His disciples, if we're the bodies of Christ, all of that has corresponding applications and behaviors. Say amen. Tonight I want us to look at and just be reminded that God said we are the branches that are in the vine. So let me give you 3 points tonight about these branches as we walk through the text. Number one, I want you to notice the relationship of the branches. There is a self-disclosure here of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reveals and discloses who He is so that we have no misunderstanding. Jesus Christ says, I am the vine. Ye, My disciples, are the branches. And it is important that we understand that and that we live in the context of that particular relationship. We have to live as believers as knowing we are branches in the vine of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that we are not the vine, and God is not the branch. Don't get it backwards. Israel's not the vine. Say amen. Israel was the vine, but they failed, and Christ is the true vine. And salvation is not being born a Jew, but salvation is being born again by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So the nation of Israel has given way to the fulfillment of all of that in Jesus Christ. And the relationship between Jesus and His disciples can be described in terms of dependence. We as God's people are branches, and branches are totally dependent on the vine. The branches have no life in and of themselves. It is only in a relationship with Christ does life flow to the branches. And John is speaking here of the union of believers with Christ. And apart from Christ, what can we do? Nothing. You can do absolutely nothing apart from Christ, because apart from Christ, you have no life. And so, therefore, as branches, we owe absolutely everything to the vine. Life, unity, growth, fruit bearing, all owed to God, because we only have those things in connection with the vine. Are you with me? We are not independent. We are dependent. Absolutely dependent for everything from the vine. And it is God's will for us that we be this, utterly dependent upon Christ, so dependent on Him that we realize that we can do absolutely nothing without Christ. Can you be a fruitful father without Christ? No. Can you be a fruitful mother without Christ? No. Can you be a fruitful parent without Christ? No. Can you be a fruitful anything without Christ? No. You can do absolutely nothing without Christ. Why? Because you're a branch. And a branch has no ability, no life in and of itself. It derives all that from the vine that it is attached to. Say amen. Branches don't have life in themselves. They are utterly dependent for life and fruitfulness on the vine to which it is attached. And the living branch is thus truly in the vine, and the life of the vine is truly in the branch. Now, there is no work that is being emphasized of the branch. It is all the work of the vine. And the key is that we are connected to Jesus Christ, who is the vine. And there is no life, there is no life except life that is in Jesus Christ that flows to us through Him. And if anyone is in God's chosen vine, then they must rightly be related to Jesus Christ. In other words, you have to come to Christ in repentance and faith to be in the vine. Say amen. It is the branches who derive their life from the vine, and it is the vine that produces its fruit through the branches. It's all about the vine. The vine is an important part of the equation, not the branches. Say amen. Sometimes we get that backwards. We think it's all about us. It's not all about us. It's all about Christ. And connected, as branches, connected to this vital, life-giving relationship with Christ is all of those who are truly saved and truly believers. You cannot be considered a branch in God's vine unless there is a connection to Him. No one can bear fruit for the glory of God unless they are attached to the vine. So in these verses about the vine, John pins down and Jesus speaks 6 times using the phrase, "in me." And he is talking about a situation that is absolutely an absolute necessity for eternal life and fruit bearing. So how does one get in Christ? Are you born in Christ through a physical, natural birth? No. Do you ride your parents' coattails into Christ? No. The only way that you can be in Christ is for the new birth to take place, for regeneration to happen. It occurs when a person is brought to the realization by the power of God that they themselves are a sinner. They become convicted of their sins and come to Christ by faith, receive the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross as payment for their sins, and confess Him to be their Lord and their Savior. And there are plenty of people who are in religion. Say amen. They're in religion. There are plenty of people who are in the church. Say amen. There are many people who are moral, upstanding people. But being in religion and being in the church and being moral, upstanding people doesn't mean that you're in Jesus Christ. But you must be. You must be. You must be saved. And in salvation, you are grafted into the true vine. Because without that connection, without that salvation, without that happening in your life, life cannot flow in and through you. So before you can have anything else, before you can have anything else from God or with God, you must have that relationship with God. And before you can have a hope of heaven, before you can have forgiveness of sin, you have to come to Him and have a relationship with Christ. Say amen. So, the relationship of the branches to the vine is vitally important. And the result of that is what? If we understand we're branches, we understand we are absolutely, totally, fully dependent on God for everything. We have no independent abilities on our own. Say amen. You take us away from the vine, we're dead. Look secondly at the remaining of the branches. He that abideth in me, he that remaineth in me, he that continueth in me, and I in him. So the branches are dependent upon the vine for all things, and branches remain in the vine. It is, in a sense, the responsibility of the branches to remain in the vine. And the point is clear. It's not just a one-time dependence on the vine. It's not just coming to Christ one time in faith and repentance. It is a continuous dependence on the vine. It is a continuous faith in the vine. It is a continuous repentance to the vine. Say amen. It is a constant, continuous reliance upon Him. It is a persistent spiritual inflow of His life into us that is absolutely essential. It's not that I needed Christ and I come to Christ. I need Christ every day. And so we remain in the vine. It's not behavioral modification. It is not just simply external growth or increase that merely imitates Christian conduct and witness. It's impelled by life in the vine. That's what brings forth fruit, not external imitation. Say amen. We can look at believers and imitate their behavior to a certain degree, but that doesn't mean that we have life from Christ. Someone said, you have to know that there is one God and you need to stop applying for the position. Say amen. You are not God. You are a branch. You have no life in yourself. In fact, unless you are in the vine, you can do absolutely nothing. Understand that. Quit trying to be God. Say amen. You must be in the vine for anything to have any spiritual significance in your life. You have to be in the vine. And if you are in the vine, then you desire to stay in the vine, to commune with the vine, to fellowship with the vine, which is Christ. So my admonition for you is this: don't forget who's doing what. It is Christ who is the true vine. He is providing the power. He is providing the life. He is providing the fruit. You are nothing but branches that simply are attached to the vine, getting everything you need from the vine and bearing forth fruit. And if you're not in Him, you can do nothing. Now, we're going to talk about fruit in just a moment. But you have to remain in Christ for there to be fruit. There has to be a dependence in Him. There has to be a submission to Him. There has to be a surrender to Him. There has to be a bowing of your knee to Him. And can I say something? Branches never get too big for the vine. Branches never get too wise for the vine. Branches never get too smart for the vine. And there is no branch in Christ that does not abide, remain, or continue in the vine. If God has put you in the vine, you remain in the vine. You continue in the vine. The branches are to the vine what slaves are to the master. There is obedience that is to be absolute. Now, for these disciples that are in the original context of the writing of John 15, this is not a hypothetical possibility, but it is a reality. Judas Iscariot has already failed to remain. Say amen. Judas has not continued with Christ, has he? Judas did not abide with Christ. These 11 men that Christ is speaking to have remained. They have continued and they did abide in Christ. Judas did not. And I would remind you, abiding is not something that you are to do. Abiding is something that is seen to prove that you're in the vine. So the evidence of your being in the vine is not what you do. It is that you continue in dependence and faith and repentance in the vine. The difference between Judas and the 11 is that Judas was never in the vine. Say amen. It's not that Judas was in the vine and then he took himself out of the vine. It is that Judas was never in the vine. And the reason that he did not remain, the reason that he did not abide, the reason that he did not continue, is because he was never in the vine to begin with. And it is the continuance of these 11 in the vine that is proof of them truly being in the vine. Does that make sense? Jesus Christ is Lord. He is sovereign. He is master. We are his branches. We are his servants. We are his slaves. And it looks like we are doing it all. It looks like we're hanging on to the vine. But in reality, it is Christ who lives in us, hanging on to us, causing us to will and do of his good pleasure. And understand this, it is a delight for a branch to delight in God and seek to glorify him in all that we do and say. So, looking at us being branches, we see here that there is a relationship between the branches and the vine. Christ is the vine. We simply are the branches that are attached to him. There is a remaining of the branches. True branches do not act like Judas. They don't leave. They don't abandon. They don't apostate. They remain and continue and abide in the vine. And then thirdly, there is a revelation of the branches. And this is what Jesus Christ says. These branches who are in the vine and who remain in the vine or abide in the vine, they are the same branches that bring forth what? Much fruit. True branches in Christ remain in Christ and they bear forth much fruit. Do all branches in Christ bear fruit? Yes. Yes. All branches, all true believers are in the vine of Christ. They remain in the vine of Christ, and all true branches in Christ bear fruit. All of them. All branches connected to Christ are going to bear fruit. And God is ultimately interested in increasing the branch's fruit-bearing capacity. Say amen. Now, in this union with Christ, in this union in the true vine, or we could say, the reason why we are saved, the reason why God has regenerated us, the reason why God has rebirthed us or born us again from above is so that we will bear forth fruit. Say amen. Fruit is the working of God in and through us. It is God's will for us to bear fruit, and it is God's work in us that we bear fruit. So what does God do here in this metaphor? What does God do in the life of those unconnected branches, those branches that are attached through some other means besides God grafting them in? What does God do in those life, in the life of those unconnected branches? What does God do with these branches that are dead and bear forth no fruit? What does God do with those branches? He cuts them off. And he rakes them up, and eventually these branches get what? thrown in the fire. So God doesn't actively work with dead branches. Right? He doesn't do anything but cut them off, right? He cuts off dead branches. He cuts off unfruitful branches. He's not patient with dead branches. He cuts them off. Piles them up. Readies them for fire. So there's no working of God in dead branches. He sort of has a hands-off approach with them. Let me sort of illustrate this. If you search the New Testament, you never find Jesus Christ trying to talk Judas out of leaving. Say amen. He never tries to talk Judas out of leaving. He never tries to persuade Judas not to betray him. You never see Jesus trying to beg Judas to stay. And what can dead branches do? Not in Christ? Nothing. But we're told here in this metaphor that God the Father is the vine dresser, right? Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the vine dresser. And as the vine dresser, he does something unique and important. What does he do? He prunes the branches. Which means that God is actually actively working and doing things in your life for the purpose of you bearing forth much fruit. So God doesn't actively work in the life of those who are dead and not in the vine, but he does actively work in the lives of those who are truly in the vine and remaining in the vine. And the reason that he does what he does is so that we can bear forth more fruit. And so God's plan for your life is that you bear more fruit to the glory of God. So do not think that God is simply going to sit in heaven and let you bear whatever amount of fruit you think is enough. Amen. Say amen. Do not think that God's going to sit there and let you decide when enough fruit is carried. No, what does he do? He prunes. Say amen. He prunes. And God is an expert at growing fruit. So the idea here is God has a knife, or God has some shears, and he uses the knife or the shears to do what? To cut away those things that are in the branch that hinder the branch from growing and bearing fruit. Say amen. It is this pruning or this clipping of God in our lives that actually causes the bearing of more fruit. Now, I'm not a tree, and I don't believe in reincarnation, so I haven't been a tree in a past life. But I'm going to venture to guess that the cutting away from a branch or the pruning process to the tree is a painful process. I do know that it's painful in the realm of in which we live. Listen, can I be helpful for you tonight? We need to be careful. We need to be very careful talking about what we can't live without. Say amen. Whether it's things or people, we say, be careful when you say, I can't live without that. Or, be careful talking about what you just can't put up with. Because God may hear you and cut that thing out of your life so that you will learn that your fruitfulness is not based on your education. It's not based on your abilities. It's not based on your gifts. It's not based on your connections. It is based on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. And if there is any fruit from your life whatsoever, if there is any spiritual fruit from your life whatsoever, it has nothing to do with you. The life and the power and the fruit comes from the vine. And those things that so easily hinder us from fruitfulness are cut away by God. Do you understand that? That anything that you put ahead of God, if you're a true believer, anything that you put ahead of God, God may cut it away. Jesus says that this ministry of pruning is performed on every true branch. And we have a lot of things that need to be pruned away. No one is excluded from the touch of the heavenly vine dresser's hand so that we will be more fruitful for him. And there is no doubt that God has had to purge and purify me, and it was very painful. But I would remind you that you have to remember that there is never a time when God is closer to us than when his hand is upon us, pruning us as branches. His touch, no matter how it may hurt for the moment, is proof that you are his and that he cares for you and desires that you bear more fruit. We were talking this morning about in the old days when kids actually got whippings. You remember that? Haddon has these matchbox cars, and he has these, you know, those orange matchbox tracks. I have been beaten many times by a matchbox track. You remember when your mom or your grandmother would, if you did something or said something, they just picked up anything that was close? Yeah? Well, I told somebody this morning, I said, they loved you enough to do that. And you didn't understand it at that time. But as you get older, you understand. They did that because they cared about you. And they did that because they love you. And God prunes us because he cares for us and he loves us and he wants us to bear forth much fruit. And I have felt that God took a matchbox track and beat me with it. Amen. Painful. So how does God do that? How does God prune us? Well, he prunes us by the Word of God, doesn't he? And the Word of God is two things. It's a mirror in which it reveals to us our faults. It reveals to us our sins. That's why we don't read it very much. Right? Because it's a mirror. When we read it, it reveals to us where we are off track, where we have sinned against God. And then it's like a knife that cuts to the heart. And it doesn't seem to me that God is content with the fruit that we're bearing. Because he prunes, because he desires what? More fruit. Much fruit. So here's my question, branches. Does the Lord speak to you through his word? Does he reveal to you your sins, and does he cut those things by his word? If God speaks to you through his word, then have you heeded his voice? Or have you ignored it? Or I could ask you this. When you look at your life, do you see the evidence of the Lord's pruning on your life through his word? God says, you're branches. And as branches, you are in the vine of Jesus Christ, and you receive all of your nutrients and all of your life and all of your power from Christ. Even the fruit that you bear is not produced by you, it's produced by the vine. And that you remain in the vine, you continue in the vine, you stay in the vine, and that you will bear much fruit to the glory of God as a branch. I thought about this today. You have a vine, you have branches in the vine, and you have a vine dresser. So if those branches bear much fruit, who gets the glory? Well, not the branches. Maybe not necessarily the vine. Who gets the glory? The vine dresser. The vine dresser. And I would say this. The vine, which is Jesus Christ, desires that the Father, the vine dresser, gets the glory. And it should be the desire of all of the branches that God the Father, our vine dresser, gets all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor as well. Isn't that why we are here? Isn't that what we are? Isn't that what we are to do? What are we to do? Commune with Christ. Fellowship with Christ. Stay close to Christ. Desire Him. And as He produces fruit in us, we bear it. We bear it to the glory of the vine dresser. And we glory in every cut that He makes. Because we know it is for our good. And we know it is for His glory. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word tonight. It is always so good. And it is clarifying to us of who we are in Christ. And so, God, I pray that You would allow us to see these truths of who we are and that we would have appropriate behaviors to those identifiers of who we are. And that we're not just trying to identify as those things, but we are truly those things. And God has said we are. So God, help us to examine our lives to make sure that we are branches, abiding in the vine, bearing forth fruit and more fruit as God prunes those things from us that hinder our fruit bearing capacity. So God, help us to be fruitful branches to the glory of God. And we'll thank and we'll praise You for that. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen.